a wrap-up of the Haynesboro Assembly meeting from this week, and Whooping Cough makes an appearance in Haynes. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly this week had a regular meeting where some of the items up for action were postponed or moved along to public hearings. One ordinance that did pass was an amendment to the FY13 budget to include three items, including a one-time appropriation of $15,000 to Southeast Senior Service to restore the senior meal program to 4 days a week in Haynes. Funding cuts had forced the Senior Center to reduce the days it offered lunches at the Senior Center and delivered to homebound seniors. The measure also included appropriating previously approved projects dealing with the Chilcat Center roof replacement and Sunshine and Piedad Road water system upgrades. The Assembly also passed an ordinance that will streamline the meeting agendas. In proposing the ordinance, Mayor Stephanie Scott wrote, "Oftentimes resolutions slated for Assembly action are passed unanimously and without public comment. The ordinance would allow resolutions to be placed on the consent agenda so that each item does not have to be discussed individually and therefore save time on meetings. There is the option of any person being able to suggest an item be pulled from the consent agenda so it can have a public hearing. But the Assembly will still have final approval of the agenda and public can still comment on any subject during public comment periods." Another ordinance up for adoption was postponed by the Assembly. The group has been proposing changes to the borough's local financial disclosure requirement and process for local officials. Haynes voters will decide in the October municipal election whether Haynes officials should be exempt from state financial disclosure laws. The Assembly as a whole supports the measure, and in anticipation that the measure may pass, it is refining the local requirements officials will still have to follow. The Assembly has proposed several changes or amendments to the ordinance, and on Tuesday, Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel proposed more changes. She suggested officials should not have to disclose trust and retirement accounts more than $5,000 because they would not have any bearing on how an official viewed local issues. She also brought up a concern with the definition of sources of income in the ordinance. Mayor Scott suggested the Assembly postpone any action until the September 11th meeting and hold a committee of the whole meeting before then to address all the amendments and changes the Assembly would like to make to the local requirements. An ordinance to adopt a new water sewer rate schedule was advanced to a second public hearing, as was an ordinance to adopt the borough comprehensive plan. The Assembly moved another ordinance to a first public hearing. This ordinance would amend the Haynesboro Code Title 16 that deals with harbors. The ordinance would prohibit verbal abuse or physical assault and threats against borough and harbor staff or the public while within the harbor. It would also allow the harbor master to suspend or revoke harbor privileges from any member of the public. Most Assembly members spoke in support of the ordinance, noting a recent instance in which a local Haynes man was charged with assault for pushing Harbor Master Phil Benner. Assembly members also mentioned it was not the first instance of the harbor staff being verbally abused by harbor users. Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel said she understood the harbor master should have the authority to evict or refuse service to anyone at the harbor, but she said she was disappointed in having to outline what behavior is considered unacceptable. Assemblyman Steve Vick said there should be included in the ordinance some sort of appeal process an individual could use if their harbor privileges are revoked. The next general meeting of the Haynesboro Assembly is on September 11th. Cases of pertussis, also called whooping cough, have been on the rise both nationally and in Alaska, according to the State Department of Health, which is trying to get the word out this week about the disease, like through this public service announcement the state distributed recently.
Hear that? That's the sound of a child infected with pertussis, or whooping cough. Whooping cough epidemics are currently underway in several states, and cases are on the rise here in Alaska.
Washington State now considers the outbreak an epidemic, with thousands of cases reported. And so far this year, Alaska has already seen more than twice the annual average of cases. Haynes has current cases of whooping cough, says public health nurse Ty Esposito. As of this week, Alaska has had 113 cases of the disease reported since January, according to the State Department of Epidemiology. Two cases have been reported in Southeast, but the current cases that came to light this week in Haynes were not included in that count, Esposito said. The state had only 24 cases reported during all of last year. The disease is spread from person to person through respiratory droplets when a person with pertussis coughs or sneezes. It starts with cold-like symptoms and a cough that gradually becomes worse. The cough is sometimes accompanied by a high-pitched whoop or vomiting. Public health officials say the disease is especially serious for infants and young children. There is a course of antibiotics that can help slow the spread of the disease, Esposito said. But health officials, like Esposito, say the pertussis vaccination is the primary way to reduce or prevent the spread of the disease.
A community that keeps up with their immunizations creates a healthier community. Then we don't necessarily have these problems. That children and adults are all protected. We also ask that adults also get their updates on their immunizations as well. There is an adult version of the pertussis vaccine that if you haven't had one yet, you should get it, because not only does that protect you, it protects the people around you.
The State Department of Health recommends children 2 months to 6 years stay up to date on their pertussis vaccinations. A booster is recommended for anyone over 11 years old, including adults. Despite the failure of ballot measure 2 on Tuesday, Alaska could still reestablish its coastal management program. Lawmakers and activists on both sides of the vote expect the issue will come back to the legislature again next session. Matt Lichtenstein reports.
Opponents of the coastal management initiative painted it as a bad law that would hurt Alaska's economy. Vote no on two campaign spokesperson Willis Lyford thinks that message resonated with voters in Tuesday's primary.
You know, it wasn't a simple reinstitution or reinstatement of the old coastal zone management program. We think that that message got across. This was something new and different, and it was going to be complex and not good for Alaska long term.
To get that message out, Lyford's group raised over $1.5 million, mostly from oil companies, mining interests, and other business organizations. The measure's backers, the Alaska Sea Party, raised far less, over $200,000 total. Most of its contributions came from individuals along with local government and Native organizations. Sea Party Chair and Juneau Mayor Bruce Patello says his group is disappointed in the vote, but also heartened in some ways. He points out that many initiative opponents said they supported having some sort of coastal management program, just not the one that was on the ballot.
I'm hopeful that they will work with us towards a meaningful coastal management program during the 2013 legislative session. I think we also felt that we have at least succeeded in bringing a level of public awareness about the importance of coastal management to the state. And having that knowledge base out there, we think will be helpful to ultimately seeing it reestablished.
Botello thinks the big disparity in campaign spending and the traditionally lower turnout for primary elections both played a part in the initiative's defeat. The Alaska Coastal Management Program shut down in 2011 after the legislature and governor failed to renew it. The program helped coordinate the environmental review and planning for proposed development along Alaska's coasts for more than 30 years. By restarting the coastal program, supporters emphasized the ballot measure would allow for more local and public input to make sure, for instance, a project didn't damage an important resource like juvenile fish habitat. Some opponents, like Ketchikan Representative Kyle Johansson, agree with the value of that input. He says having a coastal zone program is probably the right thing to do, but he thinks the initiative went too far.
There are better ways to write this bill. We had two options last year. A straight, simple extension of the current plan would have worked for me, or the bill that we passed out of the House 40-0 would have worked for me. But this piece of legislation that was on the ballot yesterday went far beyond those proposals, and I couldn't support it. So I'm pleased that we're not under that law right now.
Johansson expects another bill to reestablish the program will be introduced next session. So does Juneau Representative Beth Gratula. Gratula was an outspoken advocate for the initiative, and she's proud of the support it did receive, especially among individual residents and coastal communities. She's staying optimistic for the future.
I have a hope, we'll see, but I have a hope that we'll go into session and try to put a bill together that we can agree on to bring back our coastal program. is so important for the state. You know, to be the only state in the union without a coastal program, it affects everything from fish farming to oil and gas, you know, to controlling, having smart development.
Nearly 62% of Alaska voters said no to the Coastal Management Initiative, and just over 38% supported it. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
As we reported in our last newscast, the Skagway Assembly may consider developing its own coastal zone management plan for its local area. Assemblyman Mike Korsmo said after Tuesday's election, he will raise the issue at the Skagway Assembly meeting on September 6th. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer, and we're taking a holiday on Monday in observance of Labor Day. We'll be back here Tuesday evening at 5:30 with your local news on KHNS. Until then, have a wonderful weekend as we ease into autumn. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.